time's getting away. You know, one thing that I feel like is extremely important is teach our children to be on the offense in life. Giving, helping, as opposed to taking and expecting from others. You know, the Scripture says in Acts 20 and 35, well, I'll wait a second so the translators can get that. But in the meantime, you know, it says the Scripture also tells us that we are the light of the world. Do you know the only thing that can dispel darkness is light? That's the only thing. So we want to teach our children that we don't go out in the world intimidated and allowing that darkness to dim us. We're a light. And the darker it gets, the better the light can be seen. The light not of ourself, but of God, of Christ, and of good values and wholesome things and good principles. We want our children to be infused with that. We want their mind from early child. Now, we're going over so-and-so, and I want you to be a good example of what the Lord is, okay? And, you know, you start working with them from the earliest time that we are a light, and that's what our life is about. And I want to say a little more to that in a minute to tie it in with some other issues, but in Acts 20 and 35, it says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said. What did He say? It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, when we raise our children in that kind of vein, it changes their thinking. Because when we raise our children to be constantly absorbing, the American public is constantly watching TV. They say how many hours a day? 6 hours or something like that? Anyway, it's a lot. And so they're constantly just absorbing. That's not healthy. And so the Lord wants us, I believe, not only to be interactive in those ways, but the Lord said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so when our life is about giving rather than receiving, not only we think of financial help. Well, yeah, we don't like takers. Well, you know, there's a lot of things we can just be receivers all the time. We're just being entertained. We're just constantly, somebody else is doing it all for us, and we're just sitting there beholding. Do you know that we are damaging our children big time when we do that? And so we want to be givers. Be involved in things. Doesn't the Bible tell us, blessed is he that considereth the poor? Psalms 41 and 1. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. You know, as we take the great commission that the Lord has given us and we take it seriously, we are to be lights in this world. The Scripture tells us that we're a city set on a hill. The Lord told us, you are the light of the world. That's what the Lord told us. And we know He's the light of the world, but He works through us many times, doesn't He? And so, as we go out and do the things that we're supposed to do, do you know there won't be enough hours in a day to absorb things that are of no value? And so when we're constantly giving out, doesn't the Scripture tell us that pure religion and undefiled before God is to visit the fatherless and widows? The Scripture tells us that. Do you know these things all take a piece of our time and energy, and it is valuable. It is something where our children are learning as we begin to do the things the Lord told us, to be a part of the Great Commission, to be a part of going out to the world, to be a part of helping the poor, the fatherless, and the widows. Do you know what we're teaching them? We are filling them with something so that they're not a vacuum. I want us to think about that thought for a minute. What does a vacuum do? You ever heard of vacuum? I used to have a problem with my vehicle, and it would quit on me. And so if I unscrewed the cap, the gas cap, I would hear this, you know. There was a vacuum in there, and it was just sucking stuff in. Do you know if our children do not have something that they're giving out, purpose, strength, blessing to other people, when they are being a blessing to someone and they are thanking them for it, do you know what it's doing for them on the internal part? They are not only learning the ways of the Lord, but they are becoming filled with something where they realize what they have. They're in touch with the poor. Well, we like to be in touch with those on our own level or a little above, right? I mean, we kind of like, you know what? The poor, the work of the Lord, the work for people that need help, that they're constantly in our life. That's the way it was for us before we ever started preaching publicly like this. You know, and I'm not boasting in that. I'm just saying, let's fill our lives, and then our children feel like they have something. I'm sure thankful for what we have. You know, it's easy then to say, children, don't you thank God for what the Lord has given us? You know, we just went over there and visited that person. Their dad drinks all their money away. That's why they don't have food. And you know, when they begin to see the suffering of the world, that's reality. That's what's all around us. When they be able to see, when they're able to see things for what they are, they're no longer a vacuum. And when all they see is sitting behind a television or something, which I know most of us here don't have that, and I surely am glad for that. But you know what? That creates a vacuum because you're looking and beholding, and here's these people that are always rich, always finely dressed. They have the finest of everything. Life is a mirage. Life is something that's not real. And so they are a vacuum. And here, and so then they are always seeing what they don't have, and they feel like a vacuum. And so when they go out there, it's easy for them to just suck in everything they can. Folks, it don't have to be that way. Our children can constantly feel like they have something to give. Something to give all the time. Our lives can be patterned in that kind of pattern, and it's an exciting life. It's pretty it's quite interesting, to tell you the truth. There's a lot of things you come across, a lot of different kinds of people. We had a lady one time just knock on our door. I opened the door and she stepped in, and I hardly knew her, and she was the wife of a fellow that had worked for us, and he had gone south in his living and started doing drugs and things like that, and she was afraid for her life. And so she stayed at our house for a few months. But you know, if we will allow ourselves to become what God told us to do and take that great commission to other people and be helpers to others, what we will find is our children will know we have something to offer. And they won't feel like a vacuum, like we're missing it all. They'll see the mirage. They'll see the fake of all of the other stuff around them and realize this is the real goods here. The happiness we have in our home, the joy that God brings to us. I'm going to try to wrap this up quickly if I can. But, you know, we had a girl living in our home one time. And I know you have to be careful about these things. I know that. You can't be indiscriminate. But this was when we were quite young. And this girl didn't have the options in life that we have. Her dad didn't love her. He never did love her. He always treated her like a third person or like a third party in the home. And so here she was sniffing lacquer thinner, and she didn't have any money hardly, so she could get lacquer thinner cheap. And you know, we took her in for a while, but I will tell you what we noticed when we were working with this girl. There was a heavenly blessing that came upon our home that I cannot explain. It was like heaven came down upon our home because the Lord was in that thing. And when we do these things, our children know that. They feel that heavenly blessing. And it's happened like that many times. And so I just want to encourage us to open our hearts. I want to talk about one more thing, one more area, and that's grave mistakes. And we'll try to just work down through this pretty quickly. And you can enlarge on these things. But you know, there's some things. One of the things we mentioned before was, if we talk negative about the very people or things that we want our children to give their life to, we have just shot ourselves in the foot. We have just hurt ourselves, our chances, really bad. Because our children should never hear those negative things. They're not ready for them. They don't know how to comprehend, how to work through them. And we're not supposed to be talking about them anyway. And so if that's the pH of our home, expect problems. Because that's what we're going to have. So there are some wonderful examples of this. I talked to a son of a minister of ours. And he told me, he said, his dad was a minister, and he had been into a situation that was quite negative, and not that he did anything wrong himself, but he was dealing with some things. And you know, another minister then came later and talked to him, and he said, "Now I know your dad's probably, you've probably heard some things about me," and he said, "No, I don't know anything." And his dad had been in this great thing, big deal. And his son didn't know anything about it? That's remarkable. It's the way it ought to be. And so, but he's saved today, you know what? Real blessing to the work of the Lord, too. I thank the Lord for that kind of an example. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, "And ye fathers..." I know we're talking a lot to fathers today. We can't cover everything. We're talking a lot about boys today, but not only boys. It says, "You fathers." Folks, that's a very important place in our home. Fathers, step up to the plate. Be what you're supposed to do. It is a critical error for us not to. Talk to a father that told me, he said, "You know, when my sons were about whatever teenage years," he said, "I blinked for a while." You know what? He lost some of them. And I know that's grievous to him today. He said he blinked. I don't want to do that. It's a grievous, grave mistake. Dads, be there. If you have a job that takes you away from your child all the time, I want to tell you that's the source of many ills with our children. I believe that. If we have a job that we have to be gone 6 days a week all the time, and I wasn't even thinking of anybody, folks. But, you know, if we have a job like that, let's ask the Lord to help us to be able to have a different situation. Our children need us. They need us in the home. Mom is a wonderful person God put there, but He also put Dad there. And it's a great mistake for Dad to be taken up with other things all the time when he has all these children to raise. It's very, very important. Extremely so. "Your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Just want to read through this little list of things very, very quickly. And you can enlarge on it later. But when we are inconsistent, when we are nagging, when we discipline in anger, do you know what discipline in anger does? It creates, there's one thing that will create an opposite, very strong reaction, and that's anger. You get angry at somebody and you say something, and you're going to get it back if there's some carnality there, okay? Well, that's what happens many times. And so we build walls. And we build this little thing where it just isn't happening. We all know that humility breaks walls down. When we're humble with one another, when we love one another, when we speak with gentleness, we know that that tears walls down. We know that things that would be there begin to fall. That's what humility does. It's one of God's weapons. Let's take it into our life and not speak in anger to our children. And if we do, let's do what the Lord tells us to do. Let's go back and say, I'm sorry. It's the greatest thing we could give to them, is to say, I messed up. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Then they know how to deal with themselves. And then they can believe in you too. Favoritism, we have an example of that in the Bible. We see that in Jacob, don't we? We saw that, I believe, in Isaac and Rebekah. And we see where that caused so much trouble, enormous trouble. And yeah, Joseph had to deal with it. He got sold over it because his brothers hated him. Finding fault, public humiliation, we wouldn't like that, would we? We wouldn't want to be publicly humiliated. I like to speak to my children, if things are really getting tough, lower your tone of voice, and they'll get to know what you mean by that. Listen, son, we're going to have to go to the bedroom if this keeps up. I believe in that kind of thing. We don't harm children, but there's such a thing as discipline. And folks, when we don't do it, it's a grave mistake. We'll have more on our hands than we can deal with when they get as big as us. Pushing buttons, not listening. You know our children are worthy to be listened to. If they don't feel like we ever hear them, we're making a big mistake. Because they're not going to feel like we're in touch. They're not going to feel like they're being heard. They need to know we heard them. Even if we have to say no, they need to know we stopped and heard them. Unreasonable expectations, maybe on boundaries and things like that. We can build such tight fences around them until they can't breathe, and God don't want us to do that. We want to have boundaries that keeps them from evil, but we don't want to have boundaries that makes them the object of ridicule and things like that that's unnecessary, or makes them bitter about things. No positive reinforcement. Children need it all the time, don't you and I? How many of you have got up and testified and sure needed somebody to say, you know, thank the Lord for your testimony, because you sat down and the devil said, don't you get up anymore. You ever had that experience? I have. We need positive reinforcement. It builds something within that makes us not a vacuum. It makes us a giver. Makes us have something from the inside. Love, double standards, love used as a weapon for manipulation. Love is love all the time. Folks, we should always love our children. They should never question it, nor should they not get it when they even mess up. Now, it doesn't mean we give in to what they want, but it means that they still know that we have their goodwill in mind, that we still care about them deeply, that we're not making judgments just because, you know, we're being foolishly angry or something like that. Belittling, ridiculing. I'm shocked. It can happen. It can happen right among us if we're not careful. But folks, it's a grave mistake. These are grave mistakes, I believe. It's a grave mistake. Don't belittle the children. Lift them up. Compliment them constantly. You don't want to get them up to where they're proud and things like that. But folks, complimenting rightly doesn't do that. It just gives them confidence to be the person God wanted them to be. So, and that's good for all of us, folks. We need one another. We need to know each other has some love and concern and respect for each other. Ridiculing, name-calling, tone of voice, murmuring, mocking the child. Those things should never happen. Brother Dan already talked about family worship. It's a grave mistake if we raise our children without family worship. Grave mistake. Grave mistake. Idleness is a grave mistake. Folks, the Scripture says in Ecclesiastes 10 and 18, Proverbs 22 and 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, does that mean we go out and get some kind of a pipe or some kind of rod and hurt our child? No. You know, many times the rod can be a correction that doesn't involve anything physical other than, you know, you didn't get the lawn mowed. Well, when you get it mowed, you can come in and eat. You know, that's a pretty good rod of correction. Doesn't mean they don't get to eat. It just means they have to do what they knew they had to do before they get it. Now, we don't do that all the time, but, you know, we correct our children. It's a grave mistake to not correct children. The Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So if we don't correct them, we're toast as parents. We're going to expect problems. And many times I have looked on, sometimes tried to help situations ahead of time, not been able to. And folks, you can accurately predict many times. Going to be trouble in 10 years. Right here. I'm not pointing at anybody. Going to be trouble right there. 10 years from now, there's going to be lots of trouble. Because some of these grave mistakes are being made. And so I don't believe we have to make them. There's wise people among us that God has endued with wisdom. He tells us it's in the church. He wants us to use one another. So there's people in this audience that I know you could give me some pointers I've never thought of. I long for it. I want that. We need what one another has to give. And in your circle somewhere, the Lord has some folks for you to talk to, too. By much idleness is a grave mistake. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth. Ecclesiastes 10 and 18. And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Idleness is what? What have we heard? The devil's workshop. So don't let it be. Don't let it be. Our children want to start getting bored. You make sure it happens. You make sure they're not bored. And if you're around our area, let me know. I've got a lot of jobs they can do. if they're bored. So, okay. Protect your children from evil and harm. But folks, it's imperative that they know consequences. Don't protect our children so much that they don't know consequences. It is a grave mistake for our children to not have consequences. When they're ugly, when they're mean to someone else, when they won't do their chores, when they won't do their work, there needs to be consequences. Because if they don't have, all through life they will pay. And you talk about bitterness then, you talk about wrath toward fathers then, children look back and say, they didn't do their job. I've heard it. My dad didn't do. I don't know what he was thinking. You know, those things happen, don't they? Just a few other things here. Consequences is one of the healthiest things there is. To teach a child that when they do something, there is a consequence. That goes for good and bad. You know, when children go out and they mow lawns for people or whatever, I used to make my money that way. I never got an allowance when I was little. I'm not telling you not to, but I'll just tell you this. I just knew that if I needed some money, I had to get out there and work. And so that's what we did. But it taught me a lot of things. And the consequences were that if I wanted that burrito that I liked at every week, I worked for it. I threw papers for it. Okay, just slightly more. Americans, I just want to say this. I believe this is one of the ills of our age today. Americans are missing it by watching, entertained all the time. Folks, don't let your child get on the video games and play for hours a day. Grave mistake. I know that's my opinion, but I'm telling you, I believe it's a great mistake. The Lord wants us to learn to do things, to be interactive. Brother Dan spent a lot of time on that today. Very good time, well spent. That take your children with you. Involve them in the work. The gate needs built. It's a lot faster and easier for you to build it. Let them build it. Let them build it. Let them hit their thumb once in a while. You don't want to try to get them to hit their thumb, but it's okay. I've had some black thumbs. I know how it feels. And I'll tell you what, you just have to keep on going, don't you? It builds into children things, doesn't it? Grave mistake to take them away from any consequences. Grave mistake to take them away from ever getting hurt. Now, that don't mean we try to get them hurt. We don't ever want to do that. But folks, sometimes when they're even playing ball or whatever, they're going to get hurt sometimes. And I urge us all to not take away all the consequences, because later in life, it'll come back to be a problem. And so, as we look at all these things, friendships is one more thing that it's a grave mistake to just be weak enough to let our children do and go with anybody they want to, because they really get upset sometimes when they don't get to do what they want to do. And I know there comes a time when a child is at certain ages when we have to start relaxing and letting them make some decisions. But as long as they're in our home, folks, there's some responsibility there. And so one of my children just seemed like kept choosing to, wanted to go with the wrong people all the time. And he was like, "Dad, why don't you ever let me do anything?" And I said, "Okay, you get people that I can have confidence in and that I know everything's going to be okay. I know they're going to go the right places and do the right things. And I'll tell you what, I'd love to let you go with people like that. So you go choose those kind of friends. And then we'll be okay." And you know what? That teaches them some things. There's some things worth digging in for. There's some things worth the fight, if you want to call it that. And so, no matter how awesome the garden that you grow, there's one thing that I've learned that sticks with me since I've started gardening. I cannot believe how much work you can put into a garden, and you can do everything right. You can have those plants looking awesome and let a disease come along or a pest and you're done if you don't take care of it. And so our children are like that. I believe many parents have done almost everything right. But when the devil came along and they didn't step up to the plate and say, "Devil, you can't have this. We're fasting and praying here. We're looking to the Lord. And son, you're not going with those people until you choose the right kind of people to go with. And then I love for you to enjoy that kind of fellowship." So when we look at those kind of things, folks, everything we do can be destroyed in a little bit. Every year we raise squash plants. I don't know why we do in Oklahoma, because I don't like to put a lot of poison on my plants. And so the vine borers, every year, they come. They get in those plants, and in a little bit I see the plant turning yellow, and it's done. Now, I know I'd have to put some poison on it to kill those things. But we try to sometimes slit the plant and pull them out and all of that. But there's a disease that they bring with them. I didn't know that, but I found that out. That it's not just that they're destroying the plant. There's a disease that comes with it. And so you have to protect your plants. These plants we have that are boys growing up to be like plants of the Lord. So, Lord, help us today. I just want to tell you how much we appreciate our parents. And I know we're trying to do it right. Folks, if there's only one thing we go home with today, in my opinion, search for the answers. And don't be too proud, too stubborn, too uninformed until it's too late and haven't sought the counsel that we need and sought others to help us. If we're having problems, rather than drag it under the rug where it's all going to come forth one day in more fury than ever, Let's go to a few people that cares about us and loves us, and let's ask them, can you help me here? You got any advice? And I'd say they will.